Let's talk about the fourth candle of Advent, the angel's candle. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty, end quote. The point is one needs to prepare for the future known events. The bigger the event, the greater preparation. So how do you rate the birth of Christ on the scale of events? Now, do you see it as a one-time event that needs no current preparation or celebration? What about the second coming of Christ? Rhetorical question, how are you preparing? The fourth Sunday of Advent is Christmas Eve, December 24th. As we continue preparation for Christmas Day and the birth of Christ, it is a good time to review the symbolism of the Advent season. In each of the 4 weeks leading up to the commemoration of the birth of Christ, we light a candle, which is to represent one of the aspects of the Messiah's coming, his character, and result of his coming into our lives. From the sources on religious holidays that I visited, it is generally consistent what element of the Christmas story is represented by that particular candle. The first Sunday represents the prophets and their prophecies, the forward-looking promises of God, hope. It represents the attribution of hope. The second Sunday is to represent Bethlehem, the place selected by God for the coming of Messiah, the Prince of Peace. The third Sunday highlights the shepherds who received the good news with great joy and exuberation. And the fourth Sunday, the angels, the messengers of the Most High God, hark the herald angels sing. The fourth candle is lit and is called the angel's candle. The fifth candle, which we light on Christmas, represents Jesus' role as Emmanuel, or God with us. Each candle represents a different aspect of Jesus' character. And as we light each one, we remember that Jesus is coming soon. The goal of God's love is sending Christ to us, free us, so we can make much of him forever. If the enjoyment of God himself is not the final and the best gift of love, then God is not the greatest treasure. Has the love of God been turned into a delight in being great value to the Lord? Does your joy depend on seeing the cross of Christ as a witness to your worth or as a way to enjoy God's worth forever? Is God's glory at the bottom of your gladness? Love isn't spiritual love if it does not go beyond yourself. Matthew 5:43-48, quote, you have heard it said that it was love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the sons of the Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even Gentiles do that? End quote. Let me suggest a workable definition of is found in Philippians 2:1-4, which reads, therefore, if you have any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being united in spirit and purpose, end quote. Do nothing out of selfish ambition and pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Jesus' kind of love is a matter of the will. It is a decision. John 15:5. Question, what is the job description of a vine? What you do will reveal what you believe about him. When a Christian says from the heart, to live is Christ and to die is gain, he is free to love no matter what. Everything has been said over and over. Question, how is it then that we love so little? But a good sign that our hearts are becoming free to truly love is a reluctance to impose our will on others. When the Holy Spirit enables you to suppress these passions and withhold judgment on others, we can take heart. We know people will hurt and disappoint, but we can afford to become vulnerable with others because our security does not rest with them. If our message is inconsistent, our love will be mixed up. Francis Schaeffer calls it the final apologetic and is what will convince the world our Father is genuine. If our love is mixed up, our witness will be a dud. May your Advent season be truly joyful and your love abound more and more. Good day.